This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Oh, you hate to see it, don't you? A botched play last night by the Lakers cost them a 110-109 game against the Orlando Magic. Now, it was kind of interesting. You inbound the ball. LeBron James inbounding the ball, passes it to Luka. Luka looked really open. Like, he was open. He was on the left wing, beyond the three-point line, decided not to shoot. Reporters asked him about it. He said, hey, I know I was open. I just thought I was a little bit too far off. Tried to take one dribble closer and probably shouldn't have picked up the ball and just tried to attack. LeBron said, I thought he had a good look, and it looked like he kind of just lost his balance. Didn't have a rhythm with the ball, whatever the case may be, and it kind of allowed Orlando's defense to get back in front of him. And I was off balance when he gave it to me. I thought he had a great look. That was my point of view. Well, I don't think the Luka-LeBron thing. I saw Brian Windhorst talking about it last, or was it this morning, that when Reeves and Luka are in without LeBron, they're blowing teams out together. When LeBron's in, when all three of them are in, it's just not working. So we'll see what the future is going to hold for LeBron James. He's not going anywhere now. Obviously, trade deadline's over. But I just wonder how long that experiment's going to work with LeBron and Luka Doncic. Okay, so you had the State of the Union last night, and you had Team USA, a lot of Team USA players there. No Brock Nelson. A lot of people are thinking that's a political thing. I mean, they have a game tonight. I think it's some guy's choice if they think they can get back, rest it up, be with their family and stuff. No, Brock chose to come home. I don't know. But, Michael, what do you think of this? Connor Hellebuyck, the goaltender for the gold medal-winning U.S. men's Olympic hockey team, was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by President Donald Trump. Now, there's been other athletes to receive this award. I know, you're crinkling your face. If this weren't the case, apparently this is a thing. But that's like one of the most prestigious honors you can get. But Simone Biles received it. Joe DiMaggio received it. Michael Jordan received it. Megan Rapinoe received it. And Babe Ruth are among the 671 individuals who have received the award. It's the nation's highest civilian honor. Now that you kind of say, like, it's a civilian honor, so it's not like a war hero or anything like that.
Yeah, it's not Congressional Medal of Honor, no. Which is really
civilian
huge honor,
way different. Yeah, if you're already giving it to, like, Simone Biles and Joe DiMaggio and Michael Jordan and Megan Rapinoe and Rapinoe, whatever it is, and Babe Ruth, then, yeah, Connor Hellebuyck had one of the most outstanding performances in American Olympic history. So, pretty high honor for him. But you're kind of like, eh? Really?
I thought it was more for, like, people who... I didn't realize
like
athletes were getting this. I thought it was more for people who, like, accomplished more things.
Like, it was... They did some kind of courageous civilian act.
I haven't seen the list or anything. But
671
I don't know,
people.
It feels like you just got it. for a few games. And he did something really
not
great.
Not just a few a gold medal game and against a team that was probably should have won, right, Team Canada? But Hellebuck was special, and that's the difference. Like, if he was just special in a couple of games and then they end up winning silver or they end up winning bronze, but this was for a gold medal. Nah, I'm all right with it.
You know what? I'm going to have to take a look at the whole list before I really take umbrage.
I mean, it's probably it's a civilian award, so it's probably people doing something courageous for their community. You know, did you see somebody? I don't know. I don't know what an example would be. Somebody doing something courageous somehow. So a civilian award. Mel Kiper has another mock draft. How many mock drafts does Mel Kiper get, Michael? Why does he? You know what? You should not be considered a genius or a real. Now, he knows a hell of a lot more than I do, but I don't pretend to put out mock drafts as if they're gold. In fact, I'm pretty much wrong most of the time. I think I do pretty well in the first few picks, and then it just goes to hell. But you shouldn't be able to do 45 million. Different mock drafts. Mel Kiper, though, I tend to look at him. Honestly, I look at these mock drafts not for a prediction. I look at them to just get an idea of what other people think the Broncos' needs are. He has Denver taking Emmanuel McNeil Warren, the safety out of Toledo. So last year they took a cornerback in Jahdae Barron when they were fine at that position, which maybe that's going to turn out to be a good thing. Well, are you going to be good if the Broncos double down on that? They're already good with safety. Now, I know Brandon Jones was hurt, but he'll be good. Talanoa Hufanga and Brandon Jones are your starting safeties.
Maybe they're looking more to go to a nickel package?
I don't know, man. I mean, you are seeing safety play kind of be coveted right now, really valued. Kiper says he's a sleeper pick. He thinks that he could have been a top 15 pick had he played for a Power 4 team. Are we going to be happy? I mean, it's pick number 30. So is this a pick you'd be like cool with? Because if we're talking top 15, then I'm saying no. You go for your biggest position of need or one of your biggest positions of need, and you go from there. But at 30, if you can get a best player available type thing, and you do get a steal, and you just keep getting younger in critical positions, maybe that's okay. But I don't know. Feels like a kind of a wasted pick, and especially since you did it last year already with a cornerback. But still, your secondary in a secondary where it's not really there's no obvious holes there. That was one of your strengths, safety and cornerback.
Maybe they're thinking of trading somebody.
I don't know. Sean Payton.
It feels like this feels like they're not. I don't think they're going to pick safety.
I don't think so. No.
I think Mel Kiper is just, you know.
I don't even know if they'll use that pick. This
is the only thing he does, so he just comes out with a bunch of them.
I think he should only get one mock draft, and we see how he does every year. I don't think you should be a specialist if you get multiple mock drafts. That doesn't seem fair.
Well, the first one was just kidding, the second one was also just kidding, and the third one was like, hey, we're just having some fun.
Should we do a mock draft?
I never do.
You want to do one? You want to team up on one?
We could.
We could do that.
I'm always wrong.
Let's see how close
like,
we get.
Always way off.
I'm usually good. First three. The most obvious. And then we're
always right on the first one.
Eastside Chris texting in. If Mel Kiper puts out two mock drafts per day with 3 months to go, he's possibly going to hit on a couple of players. Yeah, this is not me knocking Mel Kiper. Obviously, he watches games closely, and he pays close attention to college players. more so than I do. I listen to not necessarily his mock drafts, but his analysis of the player and why they would make sense for a certain team. So I'm not one of those guys like, why is Mel Kiper making all that money, man? His mocks are never right. Nobody's, and sometimes they are. They're sometimes close, but it's his information surrounding the players that makes me enjoy listening to Mel Kiper. Aaron says, to quote Jim Irsay, what the hell does Mel Kiper know? Yeah. Like, he does know a lot about the players. I just don't think, I think a lot of these mock drafters pretend to know people on the inside, and that's where they're getting their information. So I don't hate the guy. I don't dislike the guy. I just think the mock draft thing is funny. It's just basically nerds. Basically nerds trying to predict what they think is going to happen.
I looked at the Presidential Medal of Freedom list.
Okay, and we're going back to that.
It's all over the place. So you have like Martin Luther King Jr. You have Milton Friedman, both I agree with. Yo-Yo Ma, who's a violinist, and then you have some of the worst presidents of all time on that list. So, I don't know.
Wait, this is a civilian award?
What?
It's a civilian, which award?
The Presidential Medal of Freedom.
There's presidents on that award?
Yeah.
Are presidents considered, this is a dumb question, are they considered a civilian?
I think once they become, like, once they're no longer president.
So after you're president, you're just like a civilian. You're just like us. Obama is shopping at Walmart for the best discount.
Yeah, yeah. except he has like people protecting him because he knows a bunch of state secrets about aliens and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did say aliens were real. Did you see that?
A lot of people are saying
he said they're real, but they are not, and he hasn't seen them. But they are not in Area 51. That's what he said. So what is there? What's in Area 51? Is that a distraction, Michael? Is that all that is? Is a distraction?
I think it's probably like leftover parts from space, from like ships that the U.S. has built. That they're like, we were going to use this for something, but now we're not.
You're taking all the fun out of it. You're taking all the fun out of it. First of all, text
Denzel
line,
Washington
88530. What for his being the same actor in every single movie?
The best actor of all time.
He's the same character in every movie.
Yeah, this is like a hodgepodge of like people who are like really good at what they do and then politics and then
so
like,
it's not for like Barry the neighbor who saved a cat from a tree or something.
It's yeah, like it's kinda. Like it I like I feel like I could get this if I was like I don't know. I don't
know.
I don't agree with a lot of people on this list.
I'll try to nominate you, but I doubt that'll go very far. We'll see. Michael, the odds to win the NBA regular season MVP have gotten really tight here, especially because the two betting favorites, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Nikola Jokic, are really still at risk of not qualifying for the award. Now, the rule for the NBA prohibits players who miss more than 17 games from qualifying for postseason awards. Shai was ruled out. He's ruled out tonight against the Pistons. He's got an abdominal strain. He's been out since February 3rd. This will be his 11th game missed. He'll need to play in at least 16 of the remaining 22 regular season games. Joker has already missed 16. So he'll be ineligible if he sits two more. If he sits two more games, he'll be ineligible. I don't know if they care. I don't know if he cares. He's already won three of these things. Might as well go. Mike, where would you like to go next in the next segment? Do we want to talk about Sean Payton's comments? Do we want to get into the Calvin Booth interview? Both are very fascinating.
I say we go with Calvin Booth off the heels of you talking about Joker.
Okay, let's talk about it. Calvin Booth caught up with Kevin O'Connor, the Kevin O'Connor Show, the KOC Show. And please, don't sound it out. Very fascinating interview. First time we've heard, or I've heard, Calvin Booth speak like that since being fired by the Denver Nuggets. So we'll get into some of that coming up next. It's the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, by the way. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. We'll be right back.
what's happening in your community. Sports news and talk. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
And I look at it like this even now, you know, I don't pay attention much to all the social mediums and stuff and aspects like that. But sometimes I am amused by some of the things I see or hear. And I'm just like, I think about it like this. All right. So you have a headache, right? You want to take a Tylenol to get rid of the headache, but it makes you drowsy. Do you want to get rid of the headache or not get rid of the headache? Because if you want to get rid of the headache, you have to take the whole pill. So you cannot separate Peyton Watson and Christian Brown from some of the other things that the people weren't happy with, right?
Sure.
You know, like you have to take, I guess you can, and they have distill it down to that in their own non-reality world. But the reality of the thing is that, like, if we sign Bruce Brown back, we sign KCP back, or if they leave and we sign veterans, you know, we bring Torrey Craig back. He's been out there. We were after Torrey Craig. Do Christian Brown and Peyton Watson do what they're doing right now?
Maybe not.
Probably not.
They might get lost in the shuffle.
Definitely not.
Right?
Definitely not. They're not going to play.
Yeah. They might have been guys that end up getting traded and they become good players on their second team.
You need minutes to develop, right? No. So I think that's – I mean, you can get in the weeds and talk about different scenarios with the Nuggets, but I think it boils down to this.
All right. There's Calvin Booth. That's one – you know, he was talking a lot with Kevin O'Connor about he gets into a lot of it. He talks about Peyton Watson. He talks about what it's like playing, managing or being around Nikola Jokic. He talks about there you hear him talking about, hey, do you get drowsy taking Tylenol, Mike? I don't really get drowsy. But his analogy is if you don't want a headache anymore, you take a Tylenol, it gets rid of the headache, but you still might be drowsy. I guess he's comparing himself to Tylenol. That's what I'm kind of hearing. Where, hey man, I drafted pretty good. Christian Brown, traded for the pick to get Peyton Watson. I drafted Pickett, Strother, Gillespie, who's actually tearing it up now. Daron Holmes, and then Spencer Jones was a part of his signing, I believe. Was a part of him bringing him in. And he's saying, hey, not everything worked out, though. We didn't retain KCP. Dario Saric was not a good move. So you get rid of the headache, but you're still a little drowsy. Not every general manager is going to hit. I get what he's saying. It was just an odd kind of way to go about it. He then went on, Michael, to talk a little bit about, is this the one about Joker, or is this the one we have is about the rift between he and Michael Malone? It's the one about 24 minutes in. Let's play it. I think this is the one 24 minutes in on that video. Where he's asked point blankly, like, did you have an issue? Did you and Michael Malone have issues? Here he is.
Was there friction during the title run, or did it happen after
that? No, I mean, I think you know, it's been talked about. When you win, everybody sees themselves in a photo, and everybody, you know, I won't take myself out of it. I think the egos stuff get involved. So that's the second paradox. I think the third thing is, when you talk about my overall situation, why I'm here without a job, I think you have to talk about, like, different ownership groups and how they operate and the choice they decide to make. And the ownership group there with Josh and Stan, they've been on record by saying, I think this is one of the most underrated aspects of my scenario. One of the reasons why I might not be employed right now, above and beyond this whole, you know, lack of alignment or whatever you want to call it. But whether it's Mark Workington or Tim or Masai, there's always going to come to a point where they don't value executives like that. They don't think they should make too much. And so they just make an option to go in another direction, right? And they got two other young, good guys, and Ben and John, they have bright upside. But I think that would have had to be part of the equation in my scenario. And the last thing is, I think I just made it a little too easy.
What do you mean by that, a little too easy?
All right, so you're a podcaster, journalist. Anybody that has... that's really good at something, when they make it look easy, that was really, really hard to get to. Like I said at the beginning of the conversation, so a lifetime's worth of playing basketball, being coaching basketball, having conversations, you know, scouting, doing whatever, for me to make it like, you know, go in there right away, assemble a championship team, win a championship. And that's the part that, like, I'll separate that for a second. I'll finish with the last and final thing. I think when you take the Joker thing, the head coach paradox, the ownership and their presence, and hey, look, they have a formula that works. Championships in hockey, basketball, football. Arsenal will probably get one soon. So, I mean, and it's their prerogative to operate that way. And I think it's the right call. I'll probably disagree with their take upon executives, especially in this world, but like, who am I? That guy, they've been so successful, right? Like, so maybe it's the right way to operate. But I'll say that you.
There's Calvin Booth talking about, he doesn't really get into it. He doesn't really, like, he was very polite. And this was about an hour long. We're not going to play like the whole hour. I don't think we could. But it was fascinating. You know, it was interesting. He said a lot in that interview without saying a ton. And, you know, he's asked, were you and Michael Malone divided? He never comes right out and says yes. In fact, later on in that segment, Kevin O'Connor asks him, he says, because Calvin Booth made it sound like this was a media fabrication, that this was made up, that there was this rift between the two. And Kevin O'Connor says, hey, Calvin, you were both fired on the same day. And you're telling me there wasn't something pretty big, pretty significant going on between the two of you? I thought the thing froze on me. Calvin just stared at him. And then he finally says, I don't know how he said it, but he's kind of like, I'm really perplexed by that question. And then they just move on. I think here's what I think Calvin's doing. I think he's doing his best not to burn any bridges, which is a smart thing. He's very complimentary of Michael Malone. He says he's probably going to have a head coaching job, and he deserves a head coaching job. He said he's probably more in the mindset of getting into the entrepreneurial world and starting up businesses and stuff, that he might not get back into basketball. But I think he would like to. But I watched the whole thing, and from what I gathered, it was more or less, he doesn't agree with their approach to how they handle general managers, because the Nuggets clearly said, we're not going to hire just one general manager. We're going to hire kind of two guys to be like in a hybrid role. He doesn't really agree with that. But then he corrects himself and says, who am I to question that, though? They've won titles with a lot of different teams. So it wasn't juicy. He did say one thing we didn't put. Maybe you did. Did you get the very first one I sent you, Michael, where you talked about Joker? It's a blessing and a curse with Joker. I don't know if you got that one. But he's basically saying, when Joker's on the floor, all you have that one? Okay, let's play that one, and then we'll react to it.
And the last thing is, I think I just made it look too easy.
What do you mean by that, a little too easy?
All right, so you're a podcaster, journalist. Anybody that's really good at something, when they make it look easy, that was really, really hard to get to. A lifetime's worth of playing basketball, being coaching basketball, having conversations, scouting, doing whatever. For me to make it, go in there right away, assemble a championship team, win a championship. I think when you take the Joker thing, the head coach paradox, ownership and their presence, and hey, look, they have a formula that works. Championships in hockey, basketball, football. Arsenal will probably get one soon. I mean, and it's their prerogative to operate that way, and I think it's the right call. I'll probably disagree with their take upon executives, especially in this world, but like, who am I? That guy, they've been so successful, right? Maybe it's the right way to operate. But I'll say that you encompass that, all that, in some media manipulation, and then all of a sudden, somehow, some way, I'm not running an NBA team right now.
Yeah, that wasn't the part with Joker, but it is, you know, he's saying media manipulation. I mean, maybe, you know, there were a lot of rumors swirling that the Nuggets wanted to kind of be done with Malone specifically before the 2023 title. And Calvin's not wrong. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of people give him crap saying, so if I'm fired from my job, I want it to be because I was too good at it. No, I don't think that was what Calvin Booth was saying. I think he was saying I was so good so fast, the expectations were that I would be incredible every single year, that I would never have any misses. And if I had a miss, I was going to be judged harshly on those misses. He also talks about they wanted to go after Torrey Craig. They wanted to go after some of these. They wanted to try to retain KCP. They wanted to keep Bruce Brown. But if they did that, we know what Michael Malone would have done. He would have played those two guys to the ground, and we wouldn't have probably seen Christian Brown evolve. We wouldn't have seen, and we're still kind of waiting to see more from Brown, but we certainly wouldn't have seen Peyton Watson evolve, especially like this year he's evolving. That's a different head coach in charge. But he says with Joker, like, it's a blessing and a curse with Joker because the expectations are so high with a player like that. Trying to win championships with just the best player on the planet, as opposed to, I think he referenced like the Spurs when they were winning. They not only had one of the best players, but they had the best coach. They had the best six man. A lot of these championship teams had the best in other areas. They had the best defensive player. They had the best star. They had the best whatever. And I don't think he's wrong. I've always said this. Like, I'm a Joker guy. I do think that you're forced to play a different style of basketball when he's not there, and not all coaches can do that. They get so used to just relying on how great Joker is that that's their offense. That's their identity. When he's off the floor, well, you're not prepared for that. And that's why David Adelman deserves a lot of credit for keeping the Nuggets where they are right now, because when Joker was out, he coached this team really well. Now he's getting criticized for how he's operating while he has Joker back. So really fascinating stuff there from Calvin Booth on the Kevin O'Connor Show. He's got that on YouTube if you just search the Kevin O'Connor Show. Very, very, very good interview. I don't think it was like the big, quote, heavy, oh, wow, he's just tarnishing, he's just torching the Nuggets organization. To me, he sounded like a guy that was not wanting to burn any bridges because he might want to get involved in the NBA again. And when a former GM goes rogue and just bashes the old regime, then a lot of teams look at that and say, man, is that what we want? Because eventually when you hire a GM, you know you're going to have to fire him at some point. Is that what's going to happen if we hire this guy and we have to move on? So I thought he handled that very professionally.
NBA is a small community.
Very small. 30 teams, man. He pissed one team off and word spread. So I think he handled it really well. And I don't have a problem with him saying, you know, I was probably too good, too fast, essentially. He was. Shortly after becoming GM, he drafted Christian Brown. Christian Brown's rookie year, they won a championship. 12:37 the time, Michael. Sean Payton had a lot to say yesterday. We got a lot of clips for you on everybody. And Sean is not going to be calling the plays next year. It's official, kind of. We'll get to that on the other side. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKN.
We've been waiting on Sean Payton for a while to talk. Maybe talk to us a little bit about Davis Webb, what the plan is there, all things we kind of thought would happen. We waited on him to rehash the Bo Nix ankle gate story. So we kind of get into that. He opened up quite a bit. Here's the big story, though, is who's calling the plays next football season, Michael? Here's Sean Payton on Davis Webb.
But you got to start from the beginning. You really do. From my lens, we won a lot of games by one score or less, right? And I'm not naive enough to think those games couldn't have swung. And you could grab any two or three. But where's the meat on the bone? The meat on the bone exists with our takeaways. That has to improve our run game consistently. Consistency, our meat on the bone relative to a number of things that...
That's not the right one. Sean, there's a specific one. It's the main one, Mike. I sent that to you. He's talking about Davis Webb, and he essentially says he's going to be calling plays. Now, he says he'll still have a hand in calling the plays for the Broncos next year. He'll still be involved in the office, and he also said kind of like he is on the defensive side. But this just leads me to wonder, like, how much, see if you can find that one, Mike. That is the number one clip that I want of this. I'm curious to see just how long it will last. And is he going to call some of the plays? Is he going to, if the offense struggles early, I mean, this is a team that averaged, I think, 23 points per game or something like that. If the offense struggles and you're under that 23 mark throughout a stretch of the season, do things start to change? And this is where I think you want to be really careful. I was also hearing a lot of rumors yesterday, too, that maybe Greg Penner who is George's boss, had some say in just how this would go down, and maybe insisted that you let Davis Webb handle some of the offensive play calling duty, or all of the offensive play calling duties. And I don't know if that's true. I've been digging into that, trying to find it. I don't have any concrete quote saying that Greg Penner sat down with Sean and said, maybe it's time for you to give over play calling duties. But Sean was very complimentary of Davis Webb. And he's saying, hey, this guy is special. I think he's got a gift. It's everything that we thought was happening. You know, he pulled his name out of consideration for the Raiders job, probably because Sean already told him he was going to be given play calling duties once, if he stayed in Denver, and then he could really start to bolster up that resume to get his pick of a head coaching job. So that one wasn't really a shocker. I think it's just more or less, how long will this last? Here it is, Mike. Here's Sean Payton talking about Davis Webb.
How will the sort of, you know, play calling responsibilities
work there? Yeah. First off, I think it was something that I kind of knew, you know, during the year. He and I visited on a handful of occasions. We're talking about Davis Webb. He's extremely talented. With regards to play calling, it's something that, you know, I think he'll be really good at it. And I know that's like, man, are you going to give up play calling? And I would only do that if I felt like it would help our team. I'll still be involved with what we do offensively, just like what we do defensively. But I do think he has a gift. I think he's real sharp. I'm glad he's on our staff. Typically, any decision we make like that is to benefit our team. So I'm looking forward to it. I challenged him in the off season prior to that preseason game. He did a good job. But I think it'll help us, and certainly I wouldn't do it if I didn't think.
All right, there's Sean. He said he was coming to that realization maybe earlier in the season, which kind of checks out too, because the offense, whether it's the play calling, just not putting guys in the right position or whatever, in as much praise as Bo Nix has been getting, the offense sputtered at several times last year throughout the course of the season. So for Sean to admit that was, because you're not going to make that kind of a change in the middle of the season. It's just tough to do that. And I have no problem that he didn't. But it's tough to admit that, hey, I started to kind of think maybe a change would be good. More or less, in my opinion, having him be the coach, be the manager of the game throughout the game, rather than focus on what that next play call is going to look like, I think it's a great move. I'm just curious, how long will that actually last? 12:48 the time. We'll take a quick break. I got more from Sean Payton. We'll kind of gather up here, organize some of these clips, make sure we have them, and then we'll get to that. Sean Keeler's going to join us from the Denver Post a little bit later on, too. He has some thoughts on Sean and Bo and all that, so we'll get to it. It's the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
KFKA is the home of the best high school basketball coverage in the state. We are Northern Colorado's voice and your preps leader. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, the whole thing kind of just makes me wonder what conversations were being had with Sean. Because, again, the Walton Penner Group, they bought this thing to not fail. They want to, and we can sit here and argue, you know, Greg Penner, how comfortable are you? If Greg Penner was the guy that put some pressure on Sean Payton, not being a real football guy, now suddenly maybe he's calling some shots, maybe? If that's the case, I have to believe in... Maybe this is me not giving Sean Payton enough credit, that somebody, and probably that somebody was Greg Penner, saying, hey, we have to be better than what we were offensively. We have a harder schedule this upcoming season. We had some miraculous wins that could have gone the other way, and we could have missed the playoffs. You know, I know the coulda, shoulda, woulda game is tough to play, but... I can't imagine it's going to be that's the way you want to live is offensively you're three and out defensively superior, but you struggle to put points on the board until late in games. I have to believe that was not Sean Payton that just said, you know what, I'm not as good at this as I used to be back when I was with New Orleans, so I'm gonna give in, and we're gonna bring Davis Webb in back, but have him come back, and he's gonna run. The offense, my offense. The reason I'm a coach is because I'm an offensive genius. Could be a genius move, or it could be a big-time backfire for everyone involved. Buy or sell coming up next. Also, we'll catch up with Sean Keeler from the Denver Post. It's the whole show. Stick with us. Buy or sell next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.